Has your mother ever given you instructions? Maybe she gave you detailed directions on how to get someplace when you were first driving. My mom was amazed how often I got lost when I started driving because I'd never paid attention to how to get places when I was just a passenger. Maybe she told you how to clean your room, or guided you the first time you did laundry for yourself, or taught you how to scramble an egg or sew on a button. Moms are good at giving instructions, or at least mine was. The scripture that Rebecca just read is also full of instructions. Jesus collected his disciples together and gave them instructions to prepare them for the work they were about to perform as missionaries to Israel. He gave them authority and power to heal people, to raise them from the dead, and to cast out unclean spirits. He told them not to take anything with them, but to find someone worthy at each village and stay with them. And he prepared them for what they might encounter out in the world. One of my favorite memories of my mom giving me instructions was in December of my senior year of college. I was home from college on Christmas break, and my sister was finishing her first semester at a different college, about 4 hours away. I volunteered to drive down and bring her home. It was the farthest I'd ever driven by myself. And to make it worse, the weather forecast called for snow. My mom's imagination must have been running wild before I left, because she loaded my car with 3 or 4 blankets and a bag of sand, in case I got stuck in the snow, and a thermos of black coffee that she knew there was no chance I would ever drink. She gave me instructions for what to do if the car started to skid on ice. She warned me to stay in the car if I got stuck and light some flares, which she also helpfully supplied. This was before the days of cell phones. She handed me a fruit cake and a plastic knife and told me I could eat it in an emergency. And as a last step, she handed me a huge maglite flashlight, which she helpfully pointed out that I could also use as a weapon if needed. We both laughed and I set out, but I did remember and follow her instructions. Luckily, I did not skid, did not get stuck, did not need to eat the fruitcake or drink the black coffee or hit anyone with the flashlight, and I did arrive at my sister's college safely. But my mother's instructions helped me to be prepared, just as Jesus' instructions helped his disciples to be prepared for their mission. Some of the language in this morning's scripture may sound unfamiliar, even strange. Slaves and masters, Beelzebul, not peace but a sword, our families as our enemies, those who lose their life will find it. I was struck by this powerful language the first few times I read this scripture passage in preparation for this sermon. I'm guessing some of the content that sounds strange to our ears made more sense to the people who were originally reading Matthew's gospel. And yet, even in the midst of some strange and confusing language, there are 3 themes in this passage that can still resonate with us today. God's deep love for each of us, how to live a life of faith in response to that love, and having the courage to proclaim our faith in challenging circumstances. The first key theme from Jesus' instructions to his disciples is about God's love. Many of you know I spent this past week at junior camp as the storyteller. I still have my I Love Camp bracelet on to prove it. My job each morning was to introduce 7 to 11-year-olds to Bible stories that related to specific fruit of the Spirit. On Tuesday, we talked about love using the parable of the lost sheep. One of the main things I wanted them to understand is that God loves each and every one of them and each and every one of us with a love even deeper than we can begin to understand, a love so great that he would go to great lengths to find us if we were lost. We hear the same message in today's scripture. God loves even the smallest of sparrows, and knows and loves each of us so well that he counts every single hair on our heads. It's a simple message, one you may have heard in church since childhood, but it's also a powerful promise and an incredible reality, one that can give us confidence and assurance. God loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and each and every one of us. There's nothing we need to do to earn God's love, and there's nothing we can do that will separate us from God's love. The second key theme from Jesus' instructions to his disciples is about how to live a Christian life in response to God's deep and abiding love. Jesus gave his disciples clear instructions about what they needed to do. Most of these instructions are still relevant today. Proclaim God's action through Jesus. Go out into the world and share the good news. Let go of material possessions. Let go of what others might think about you. Trust in God and God's future plans for you, for your community, and your world. And place your loyalty to God above all else. Some of these instructions are things we are doing well already. We have spent several months already in intentional prayer as we discern God's direction for this church. And we will continue praying and trusting in God as we move forward. We're taking steps forward in reaching out to our community and demonstrating God's love by feeding the hungry. Some of the other instructions that Jesus gave are a little more difficult to follow. I know that letting go of possessions is a challenge in our house. We try to recycle, to give away things if we're not using them, and to be thoughtful about what we buy. But we always seem to have more stuff than we need. I wonder if any of you struggle in the same way. I won't presume to tell you how to downsize your possessions, but remember that Jesus instructed his disciples to travel light. If your stuff is weighing you down, letting go of some of your possessions may open up space for God to do new things in your life. There's another aspect of these instructions for Christian living that many of us find a little intimidating and overwhelming. The instruction to proclaim God's action through Jesus. Jesus made it very clear that the disciples should not be afraid to confess Jesus in public. And the same instruction applies to us. Our command is to proclaim from the housetops and to acknowledge Jesus before others. I don't know about you, but this instruction sometimes makes me a little uncomfortable. At one general assembly of the Christian church, I remember that multiple speakers said that people in the Christian church, Disciples of Christ, are allergic to evangelism. Those speakers were referring to the reluctance many of us feel to make public speeches about our faith, especially to those who don't share it, because we worry about offending people. But sharing our faith doesn't have to be complicated or scary or offensive to others. You don't need to preach from a pulpit or have millions of TikTok followers or an award-winning podcast. And you don't need to stand on the street corner and shout at the top of your lungs, telling everybody who passes by that you are right and they are wrong. Evangelism is all about relationships. People who know you are more willing to listen to your faith story and are more willing to share their own. The time you spend here at church talking to others before or after worship, the texts you send during the week, the calls you make, the time you spend sharing stories about your lives is the foundation for sharing your faith. And once we can share our faith comfortably with others who are part of this little community of faith, we will be better equipped and have more confidence to get to know people better outside these walls and share our faith with them as well. Sharing your faith may feel uncomfortable, but it's not the only uncomfortable truth about living a Christian life that Jesus explained to his disciples in this scripture passage. Being a Christian requires an all-in commitment of our whole heart, soul, and mind. Our faith isn't just a warm, fuzzy, feel-good experience that we have on Sunday mornings and then forget during the week. The phrase, "I have not come to bring peace but a sword," gets misinterpreted regularly as a call for violence and war. In fact, what Jesus was telling his disciples was that following him would require a full-time commitment and loyalty to him above all else. In Matthew's time, following Jesus was risky. Those who proclaimed Jesus as Messiah were rejected and even persecuted, even by family and friends. Disciples were forced to choose between their faith and their family. In today's world, following Jesus doesn't necessarily cause conflict within our families, but being a Christian still demands that we commit ourselves fully, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day in all aspects of our lives. Our faith should influence how we relate to others, how we make decisions, how we spend our money and our time, and so many other aspects of life. Jesus himself modeled how to live a life of Christian faith by caring for people who are sick or struggling, by eating with those that society rejects, and by sharing freely from our own abundance. It's our responsibility and our privilege to follow that example every day in our own lives. Which leads us to a third theme in this morning's scripture: having the courage to proclaim our faith in challenging circumstances. Much of today's scripture talks about the difficulty the disciples will face in their mission to reach the unbelieving people in Israel. Even though this scripture passage appears in the gospel early in Jesus' ministry, this part of Matthew's gospel was clearly written after the resurrection and reflects the post-resurrection reality that the early disciples were facing. The disciples who went out to preach the good news after receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost converted thousands of people to Christianity, but they also faced rejection by family and friends and persecution by the Roman authorities, who thought they were a secret society plotting to overthrow the government. Many disciples were arrested, imprisoned, and even executed for living their Christian faith. And yet Jesus told the disciples to proclaim the good news from the housetops and promised that he would acknowledge before God everyone who acknowledged him before others. This is a clear call to us as well as the disciples to share the good news. Like the disciples, we may face challenges as we share our faith. Although we're not that likely to be imprisoned or executed for following Christ, the chances are good that we will be faced with criticism, both in person and in online spaces. Some people may criticize us because they don't share our belief in Jesus the Messiah. Others may criticize us because they do not agree with our specific interpretations of the teachings of Jesus, such as members of the Southern Baptist Convention, which voted this week to expel two large churches that were led by female pastors and to restrict the roles of pastor and elder to men only. Those who believe women should not be ministers may criticize Teresa and me and our church for calling us. It would be easy to respond to these critics with anger or arguments, and yet this is not how Jesus taught his disciples to respond. He warned them that they would face critics and instructed them to withdraw and move on to another community to continue their mission, rather than arguing or fighting with those critics. This is useful advice for us as a church, too. We may not be getting ready, we may not want to pick up and physically move, but in today's world, we're especially likely to face criticism in social media comments. Some of the critics on social media actually want to engage with us and discuss issues of faith in everyday life. Unfortunately, many more people post social media comments in order to deliberately upset others. These people are known as trolls, and they use social media as a place to share negativity and hate. Arguing or fighting with trolls will only escalate their aggression. Instead, we should do as Christ instructed and peacefully move on to a more receptive audience. God loves us more deeply than we can imagine. We are called to respond to that love by living a life of faith, by sharing our faith and caring for others. It's a big responsibility, but we live in a community and a world that desperately need to hear the good news we can share. Will it be challenging sometimes? Definitely. Will we fall short and hear criticism? Probably. But Jesus himself tells us that rewards will come to those who proclaim him publicly, who are receptive to his followers, and who show kindness to others. Let's all find new ways to share and care together. Amen.